You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
To the right side, play action fake to Brown, Moule on a roll, downfield wide open, it's the record for G. Roy Simon. He has caught Milt, and Simon says he's the all-time CFL pass receiving leader. At the four-yard line, 4 yards separating McManus and the Lions from a trip to the Grey Cup. Doesn't get better than this. McManus, end zone, touchdown Lions! BC's going to the Grey Cup!
What's going on, CFL fans? Welcome to episode 136 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast, brought to you by Metal Rocks, original and one-of-a-kind jewelry made right here in BC. Check out their link on our website and see all the great custom pieces they have to offer. I'm your host, Brian Warishan, and I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. 2 games have passed since our last show, and we apologize for postponing last week's podcast because of our work commitments. But since we last talked, the Lions lost a game they should have won and won a game they should have won, but nearly let slip away. There are positives to draw from both games, but there continues to be concerns as well as the Lions finally come home to face the Edmonton Eskimos on a short week this Thursday night. Tonight, we chat with BC Lions pre- and post-game radio host and respected CFL insider Farhan Lalji to get his thoughts on the Lions and where they are after their first 4 games and a 1-3 record. Let's get into some Lions discussion now and welcome back co-host Mojo Kemp to the mic. Mojo, a heartbreaking loss and a nail-biting win since we last talked. What are your thoughts about the last 2 games the Lions have played, and how are you feeling about this team as they finally come home to BC Place this week?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for downloading the show. Hey, Brian. Man, I tell you, I sit there and I watch these games, Brian, and my heart is in my throat these last couple of minutes of every game. All I want to do is relax and sit back and go, yeah, this one's in the bag. We're up 2 scores with 2 minutes to go.
That'd be nice.
And it just doesn't seem like we can either. Even last game, there was a point on that last drive. We had them 2nd and 12, and they still end up with the first down. And it just seems to me, Brian, that this has been happening for the last few years. And when we get the ball back, if we get it back on the onside kick, then our offense suddenly goes 2 and out and we give the ball back. And it's just been tough to take. I was expecting a little bit more, but man, what a schedule we've had to start the year with.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, you start at home against the team that is considered by many a favorite to win the Grey Cup. You play them pretty tough at home, and you know, you have some promise there in the way they played. But then, you know, they go on the road and just get shellacked by the Eskimos, just mop the floor with. And, you know, then they go to Calgary and play a really good game and lose it in that heartbreaking fashion. And then, you know, a bit of a dud in Toronto where they squeak out a win. So really tough to find out where this team is at this point. We're going to get a really good indication this week when they take on the Eskimos at BC Place. You know, I thought about postponing this show as well because I have a pretty bad chest cold, and I'm sure you can hear it in my chest right now. So I'm going to be struggling to try not to cough here as we make our way through here. So I'll do my best to play hurt. The loss to the Stampeders was really heartbreaking because I thought it was easily the best game the Lions have played all season before they collapsed in the final 3 minutes. And then last week, I don't remember a win that, you know, didn't feel that bad. Not because they won, just because they didn't play that well and nearly blew it at the end again. I mean, I'll take it, but it didn't make me feel really good about this team right now.
No. No, not at all. And like I mentioned, right, we have them, we get them in 2nd and long, and they always seem to get away around it. But hey, you know what? We're not 0-5. We did win the game. Maybe some people think in controversial fashion. I'm sure we'll get into that. But a win's a win's a win. And bring on the Eskimos, you know, bring them back. Let's go. Let's get it on.
Yeah. And like we talked about, the schedule didn't do the Lions any favors here. But I guess that's the price you have to pay when you want the majority of your home games after Labor Day.
Yeah. We'll have, well, how many times have we heard that the season doesn't really start till Labor Day? Yeah, and our hope is that we're not out of it.
I think that's more true if you play in the East, because obviously, you know, I don't think it's as competitive as the West. And, you know, you're looking at Thursday's game, and the Lions could already lose the season series to the Eskimos if they lose on Thursday night. So it's a big one for sure. You know, like I said before the season started, I expected this team would take a few weeks to get on the same page. So perhaps I need to remember my own preseason thoughts and not be that concerned. But the Lions come home after nearly a month away with just one win to face a team that absolutely dominated them in week two. I'm not sure if they've addressed a lot of the things that contributed to that domination. They're going to have to protect Mike Riley a lot better than they did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that for sure. I think they will. I mean, you know, they had a good game. The line had a good game before that. They had a good game after that. You know, the second time you play somebody, it's a little harder to get that win. So let's hope that with some consistency in the line and a good week of practice, they'll be able to figure out what they weren't doing the first time we played the the first time we played the Eskimos.
Yeah, so let's take a look at the last 2 weeks as a whole, and we'll start with the offensive side of the ball. I think clearly the Lions have hit a home run with the signing of Lamar Durant, who's quickly becoming the go-to receiver for Mike Riley in this offense. And I think if not for him, the Lions would be coming home 0-4 this week, because you know, in the second half of that game, he basically carried that offense along with John White. So you know, especially being without Brian Burnham last week, you know, Lamar Durant's been worth every penny so far.
Yeah, without a doubt. And but I mean, Brian, right? Where is Jerron Carter?
Yep.
You know, I was expecting a lot more out of Jerron Carter, and it's early, new team, new quarterback, new city to live in. I get all that, but you know what? We need Jerron Carter to be Jerron Carter. You know, we were talking earlier, just a couple weeks ago, Brian, about how we could see 3 1,000-yard receivers on this team. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll still get there. But I'm not sure I'm seeing it right now. Although, having said that, I am quite intrigued about this young Katoy.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be a good one. I don't know if he'll get, you know, enough touches to get close to 1,000 yards. But, he's a young kid right out of junior football. He's been very impressive so far on the catches that he's made and the throws that have gone his way. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future for sure. You know, over the first 2 weeks, the Lions had no running game. Since then, John White's really picked things up, not only because of his own plays, but the plays of the guys up front and the play calling by Jarius Jackson. We can certainly see that with a more balanced offense, the Lions have had more success in the last 2 weeks. So, more so in the Calgary game, but it's still been improved. And it's not just the running game. They're also using him on screens and passes out of the backfield, and he's been effective there as well.
Yeah, he's been running really hard. And, you know, there's not much of a drop-off when Rutley comes in. And I think, Rutley's been doing okay, pretty well on returns as well. I mean, has he busted one open yet? I think
he took one back.
Yeah, yeah, so. I don't miss Chris Rainey at all.
I mean, even though he burned us last week, I mean, I saw a lot of the same stuff I saw from Rainey last week that I saw in his final days as a Lion. You know, indecision, running into, trying to run into lanes that he shouldn't be running into, and just not getting the returns that, he did earlier in his career. So, I don't think that's a big loss for the Lions. I think that was money that was easily made available for other things. And, like you said, Rutley's been okay there. He's already busted one back for a touchdown, so we really can't complain about that. You can't have an improved running game without a better play Without better play from the Hoggies up front, and while the Lions are still trying to solidify their starting five, the offensive line has been better. I thought they were better 2 weeks ago with David Foucault at tackle than they were last week with Brett Boyko, and I'm not sure Boyko is suited for that spot right now. I think he needs a bit more seasoning and a little bit more time to get himself acclimatized to the Canadian game again. I'd actually like to see what David Nello could do if he got a shot there. J.S. Waugh stepped into the center role and played pretty well, I think, over the last couple of games. And I think if they can hold the fort until Peter Godber comes back and solidify the other four spots, they should be okay there if they can stay healthy. I thought Godber played pretty well there in his rookie year, and he was kind of anointed as the next center before he got hurt. You know, it may take him a while to get back into the swing of things, but still, though, I think they need to, you know, obviously need to get better keeping Mike Riley free from pressure and give him time to process his reads, which is, you know, still been the case the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I thought Dewaugh did pretty well at center. As listeners might recall, I played a lot of center in touch football, so I'm always interested in watching the center and looking at the snaps, and I didn't notice any bad snaps, Brian, so that's always a good sign for me as a center. And I just can't, I haven't gotten over the Boyko for Lambala yet, so... I still look at Brett Boyko a little bit sideways, and I'm kind of saying, okay, man, prove it to me. Prove me that you're worth it. And, you know, he hasn't yet. He's getting better, you know, and in a different league. And so it's going to take a while for him to come around to the CFL as well. So I will just step myself back a little bit and, you know, give this guy a chance to get his feet wet.
Yeah, and I almost had a surprise for you. I almost had Raleigh coming on the show. We were texting back and forth, and he just said that, you know, there's some teams interested in his services right now, and his agent decided that they would probably be better if that he didn't come on any shows at the moment until he gets his stuff sorted out. But he is, sounds like he's still looking for work, and he's interested in coming back to a team that could find a spot for him. So we'll hopefully, he said he'd definitely come on in the future, and he's a big fan of the show. So we will get him on for you, Mojo, for sure.
Good. You guys know I love me some Raleigh Lambala.
Mike Riley was outstanding in the Calgary game and not bad last week, but he needs better support from his receivers as well. Not all of them, but the fringe guys. You know, one thing I noticed about Mike this year is so far that he's been a little frustrated at times, and that's not a criticism. It's just something I've noticed. You know, he's a fierce competitor, wants to win every time he's on the field. So perhaps this start and the pressure on him to turn things around there has weighed on him at times.
Hey, you know what, Brian? I'd rather have him frustrated than be okay with it. Because you're right, they haven't turned on. I mean, you know, the game he had 350 yards passing. That's pretty good. Obviously, that's a pretty good game. 272 in the other one. But he hasn't had that big, big breakout Mike Riley changes the game, obviously with the help of his receivers. So we're still waiting on that. And like I say, I would rather have him frustrated than sort of the James Franklin always smiling sort of deal. Nothing against James Franklin. I'm sure he's, you know, pretty fierce competitor himself. But outwardly, you can't tell by looking, right? It's the whole thing with, it was the same thing with Jonathan Jennings, right? You're like, dude, can you get a little upset and maybe fire it up a little bit? Obviously, with Mike Riley, we don't have that issue.
Yeah, and it's hard to have a big breakout game when you've got receivers that are dropping passes, like we mentioned. But, you know, Rashawn Simonis filled in for Brian Burnham last week, and quite frankly, he failed the audition. You know, he had multiple drops, including a routine catch for a first down that would have kept the Lions on the field. You know, they punted, and Chris Rainey burned his former team for six, getting Toronto back in the game. I think that might be the last we see of him, but, you know, they don't have a lot of depth there. So, you know, hopefully he can be better if he gets another shot. It's great to hear that Brian Burnham will be back this week, but I do wonder if the Lions need to go out and bring in some more receivers, or if they'll do so when NFL cuts start to come available. And Mojo, your thoughts on Daron Carter over the first four games? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little underwhelmed so far with his numbers and his impact in the offense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I expected a lot more out of Daron Carter. But again, Brian, right, it takes a while to get in with a new team. It gets to gel with your guys, learn the new offense. So I'm going to just try. I'm trying to be very namaste. You know, I did some yoga before show today to give me some peace of mind. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, if we're still having this talk and we're still disappointed, then, yeah, I'm going to be really disappointed. We need Jerron Carter. It's obvious that we need another guy if Burnham and now if Lamar goes down.
Yeah, defensively, I thought the front seven has had a better 2 weeks. You know, they had two sacks, another three against the Argos. But they have really shored things up against the run, holding the Stampeders to 30 yards and the Argos to 41 yards. Those are pretty good totals for any game, anytime you can hold a team to under 50 yards rushing. But in both the last two games, they've also failed to get the results the Lions need at the end with the lead and late in the game, and they've gone to a three-man rush that hasn't been effective. They lost Darius Allen last week with what looked to be a pretty significant knee injury. I think he's been placed on the sixth game. So they continue to look for an answer for a rush end, and that's a hit to the depth right there.
Yeah, and you know what? Those rushing numbers are great. I mean, those rushing numbers are really good. But Brian, it's like we've already mentioned, right? It's that second and 12 when you're up two scores and you can get them off the field and get the ball back, and they're getting 13, 14, 15 yards, and the drive goes on. You know, it's those plays that have been killing us for years, it seems.
Yeah, and the secondary's been good and bad over the last two games. Where they seem to be vulnerable right now is up the middle in that soft spot between the linebackers and the secondary, and I think that's a product of, you know, the Lions not getting enough pressure up front. The quarterback's got time to let that read develop, and the guy's just going into that open spot in the field, and teams are having success with that. We saw Calgary do it. We saw the Argos do it last week. So, you know, Rich Stuber's got to figure something out there, and they got to get more pressure on the quarterback and either go to man coverage and cover those guys coming through the middle or you know, figure out something, because it's been there the last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what, man, I don't want to, I'm going to end my talk on the defense with, those are some good rushing numbers. They're really doing good against the run right now.
Special teams are still a concern as well. Despite his missed field goal at the end of the game last week, Sergio Castillo has been pretty good on field goals, but his punting has been lacking, and I think it's last in average in the CFL. So it's no surprise the Lions have gone out and signed former Riders punter Josh Bartel this week. The Lions have been giving up field position in their punting game, and we'll be looking for Bartel to fix that. It'll be interesting to see you know, how dressing an extra kicker will affect the roster, and we'll ask Farhan that when he joins us shortly.
Yeah, his field goal kicking's been pretty good. I mean, we're going to have to talk. Let's talk for a second, Brian, about the missed field goal for the win.
Yeah.
What are your there's a lot of people pissed off that we took the win that way.
Well, you know,
what are your thoughts?
For people, I say to that, I mean, first of all, on the first kick, he made it. And when you look at the replay, the penalty was called, I think it was on Matt Boson, who left early. But he was drawn offside.
Well, the dude fell down.
Yeah. I mean, so why is that penalty on the Lions, for one thing? You know, you can't expect a lineman to sit there when a guy's coming over the line like that. So I'm not sure why that penalty was called on the Lions. I thought, you know, he was drawn offside. So anyway, that's one thing. He made the first kick. You know, the second kick, he missed it, and Rainey made a mistake. And unfortunately, in the CFL, that mistake cost the Argos a point. And, you know, this thing I said to somebody today, I said, if that point had happened in the third quarter and the Lions still won by the same score, would anybody be talking about that? You know, because it happened on the last game of the our last play of the game, everybody wants to get rid of the rouge and everybody's up in arms about it. But I think if it happened in the second or third quarter and the Lions still won by the same score, nobody would even mention it. So
correct me here. Get me clear on the rule. So a missed field goal that sails all the way through the end zone is not a rouge. But a punt that goes all the way through the end zone without touching the ground, I'm talking.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Is a rouge.
Right, I think that's correct. So if Rainey had let the ball go, I don't think the Lions would have got a point on that. Now, that's another question, is why they didn't just punt it through the end zone at that
point. That's the thing. Now,
maybe they're not confident in Sergio Castillo's ability to punt that far. You know,
he had a
shank earlier, so maybe just go for the points. That was a makeable field goal. I mean, he made it once and then had to move 5 yards back because of the penalty on the Lions, and that shouldn't have made a difference. That's a makeable field goal that he should have made. But at the same time, Rainey made a mistake. He's a veteran. He knows the rules. That's just too bad.
You know, would people feel differently if he just would have punted it through the end zone for the point?
Yeah.
Point to point.
Well, that's what people are saying, is they don't mind the punt or the rouge on a punt, but they don't like it on a missed field goal. And, you know, I can kind of see that point, but it's been that way forever. And like I said, if it happened in the second or third quarter, I don't think anybody's talking about it. You know, it just would have been another play in the game. But
I guess that's fine if you want to take it off of the field goal. But then on the flip side, you shouldn't be able to run a missed field goal back then.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're going to take away the rouge, then on a field goal, then the play's dead after the field goal's missed. You know, which I think takes away an exciting play from the game, you know.
For sure.
So, it's the CFL. It's been this way for a long time. And I think people get upset about things when it doesn't go their way, or they, they don't like the results. So it is what it is. And
haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate. And, a win is a win, and we'll take it at 1-3. We needed it. And unfortunately, it went our way. So this week, the Eskimos come back to BC Place, and they have to be licking their chops after the way they got after Mike Riley in week 2. You would think the Lions would want to redeem themselves and rally around Mike in this one to atone for that loss and the beating that Mike Riley took. The season series could be lost with another loss as well, and that's never a good thing this early in the season. The Lions have yet, of course, to win a game in their own division. Edmonton's coming off a bye week, while the Lions will be coming in to a short week. So we'll hope the Lions have made some adjustments to what happened in Edmonton, and they have a strong performance on Thursday night. But the cards are certainly stacked against them with this short week and coming back from Toronto.
You got to hope that the beating that the Eskimos laid on the Lions still hurts the Lions, right? And you would like to think that it's still in the head of the Eskimos. So they're chill. They're thinking, oh, we're just going to come in and kick their ass again. They have to have made some adjustments to come out better. And Brian, you know, I can't imagine what the crowd, like, I'm really scared of the crowd. A Thursday night crowd in Vancouver. Crowd's probably the wrong word to use.
Gathering.
It's going to be tough anyway. If they'd have lost that game in Toronto, I bet you there wouldn't be 15,000 people there.
Well, I think they'll be tough to get 15 this week.
Namaste.
Yeah. Well, it's nice they got the win, but I mean, by no means was an exciting football game. Both teams kind of struggling. So, it's not like they were lighting it up and exciting people to come to the game this week. It's a work in progress, and we knew it was going to be a work in progress. So, come out and support the team if you can. I know Thursday night's tough for a lot of people, but every team has to have a Thursday night game. And, hopefully we get some fans out to the stadium this week.
You know, I get up at 4:30 in the morning, man. So
yeah,
I'll be lucky to see this. I'll be honest, man. And I'm a stay till the end type of guy. But, not on a Thursday night this early in the season. And my team is 1-3?
Yep.
I'll be lucky to see the second half. I'll tell you that right now. But like you say, it's a Thursday night game, and what are you going to do? It is what it is. You know, attendance is down everywhere, man. I don't care what kind of concourse your building has. Numbers, it don't look good when you're watching it on TV.
No, it doesn't. And the Eskimos took some drastic measures this week. They're letting anybody under the age of 17 in to their games for free for the rest of the summer. They've also introduced a general admission pass for, I think, $20 or $25. So they're feeling it all across the league. And, people are just staying home. They're watching the games on TV. The TV numbers are still strong. We've seen that in BC for the last few years now, and now we're starting to see it in more traditionally well-attended markets. So, you know, when you start letting people into the building for free, I'm not sure if that devalues your product or not. But at the same time, they're trying to get more people interested in coming to the games, and hopefully when the summer ends and Labor Day comes around, those people that got in for free will actually buy a ticket and come to the games after Labor Day. But, you know, a pretty bold move by the Eskimos there for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, as someone who's paying over $500 for their season tickets, I'd be a little choked that everybody's starting to come in for free and I paid $500.
Yeah, true. All right, let's get to this week's guest. It's always great to welcome CFL insider extraordinaire Farhan Lalji of TSN back to the podcast. Farhan, thanks for stopping in to chat some lines with us, and welcome back to the show.
Always fun hanging out with you guys for a while.
First of all, congratulations on your new role as the pre- and post-game host on BC Lions radio broadcast. I can't think of a better person for the job in the market, so how have you enjoyed that so far?
It's good. I mean, I've done it a few times last year. It's certainly a tight turnaround to do the pre-game sprint downstairs and get into makeup for the broadcast, and then, you know, spend a few minutes before sprinting back up for the post-game show. So home games are a lot more difficult than away games, but I enjoy it. You know, you know me, Brian, as well as anybody. I love talking football, and when, you know, you can't have enough opportunities to do that.
Farhan, the Lions had a tough schedule coming out of the gate, and things haven't gone as well as they would have hoped. I think most people expected this team to take a few weeks to figure out their identity. Do you think they're close to doing that, or do you still see some glaring weaknesses that may extend the tough times here, especially with another three big games coming up against the West?
Well, I think there's still some growing pains. You know, I think they're getting closer offensively, right? Probably more. We saw more of that in the Calgary game than we necessarily saw this past week against Toronto. But there's still some work to do. I think they still need to get comfortable along the offensive line. There's been a little bit of turnover there in terms of movement, right? I mean, we see different right tackle and a different left guard seemingly regularly now, right? So I think they really need to settle in on who they're going to be at those positions. And then, we know they need upgrades at receiver. I don't think they're done tinkering with that yet. And defensively, I think there's still some questions in the middle of that defense, you know, at the spine of that defense that could potentially make everybody else better. So, they're figuring each other out in terms of personnel, but I still think they're a ways away in terms of personnel, which will just, you know, constantly require a certain level of adjustment and chemistry building.
Hey, Farhan, Rich Stubler's been around this league for a long, long time, and has probably seen everything that there is to see. But his bend don't break philosophy is killing me in the final minutes of the last few games. What are your thoughts on this defense? And you mentioned the personnel. Does the Lions have the personnel to run this defense, in your opinion?
You know, it's a good question, and it's one I asked Owen Claybrooks a few weeks ago, you know, because I just said to him, I'm like, look, this defense is a lot easier to run when you've got Micah Johnson in the middle of it and Alex Singleton playing linebacker, right? And Devon's like, yeah, but think of the number of times Micah Johnson was not healthy and we had to go with somebody else, you know, at nose tackle. And, you know, the amount of rotation Dave had at various positions over the years, and he's just like, you know, his opinion was we just need to play it structurally sound. I think Devon now, talking to him today, I think he understands where the shortcomings are personnel-wise. And I think they're kind of working towards something there with some of the personnel. But at the same time, he doesn't believe they're structurally where they need to be, too. And I think it's really easy to say it's the same bend but don't break defense. Look, they play a lot of match coverage still. But I think they bring more pressure than they have in other incarnations of Rich Stubler's defense, right? When you look at some of the breakdowns, you can see pressure coming on certain looks and somebody else just kind of doing the wrong assignment or not communicating, you know, in terms of where coverage needs to come from. So, you know, I think there is still some truth to that, but they don't have the complete personnel package. I think they've probably got about 10 of the 12 spots figured out, and they're trying to figure out the other ones, right? So, but it's the defense is a little different than what we constantly imagine Rich's defense to be. So, you know, it's not completely a bad defense at this stage.
I think you reported yesterday that Brian Burnham will be back this week. We sure missed him last week. But Lamar Durant has had a great season, been a great successful free agent signing. There's potential we can see in Javon Katoy. Jerron Carter's numbers have not been where I thought they were going to be. I know it takes a little while to get adjusted to new teams and everything. What are your thoughts on the Lions' receiving depth so far?
Not good enough. You know, and you're right. When you look at this last game without Brian Burnham, Mike Riley got to the point where he only trusted Lamar Durant. And I think he genuinely trusts Shaq Johnson, but he's just not always put in positions where he can necessarily make plays. But I think there's a bit of disconnect between the quarterback and number 89 a little bit right now, just in terms of, you know, their chemistry and being on the same page and just kind of that belief that he's always going to be there, even if it's on a play where he's not the primary receiver, right? So I think they got to figure some things out there. And, you know, the fact that Brian Burnham goes out and the Rashawn Simonize is the option, you know, I think that speaks to the fact that, you know, they need to bring in some better guys, right? Like, you should have an import receiver in the queue ready to go. Somebody that's pushing from below for playing time on a weekly basis. And that's not Marquise Bundy. So, and if it was, he would have played ahead of Rashawn Simonize because there was no ratio reason to play Simonize, who, you know, didn't show up until the beginning of the regular season, as opposed to Bundy, who was there from the start of training camp and rookie camp. So I think they need better players to push from below. So, you know, when you look at what Brandon Zylstra did in Edmonton when he was kind of that guy coming off the bench pushing for playing time, and then he got to play late in the year. When you look at Brian Mitchell, you know, guys that Ed Hervey recruited and they were able to step in. You know, when you look at guys like Reggie Bagleton and Marquise Ambles in Calgary, you know, guys that were on the PR and guys that were ready to push up and play. They don't have that here right now. So, I think there's some concerns. So hopefully, eventually, they can get on the same page with Carter and he can be a legitimate third option, because for the first three games, he got the number of targets that a first option would, but the production wasn't there. So, you know, if Burnham back's good, you know, you hope that they can either get Shaq Johnson more involved or Jerron Carter where he needs to be right now, because it's just not there so far.
Is there anybody out there you'd think you'd bring in that's not signed?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I wonder what's happening with Vidal Hazelton, right? I mean, he's out there waiting. Ottawa just brought in or just, you know, released Ryan Lankford. Maybe there's a guy. Kevin Elliott sitting on Edmonton's practice roster. Maybe there's a guy. You know, so, you know, I'm curious, right? I mean, Jalen Saunders is hovering out there somewhere. I don't know if he's healthy or not or what his current status is. But, you know, if you're bringing in somebody now, you better hope he's experienced, or you better hope he's a big-time player, and the big-time players are all in NFL camps. So you're going to be waiting for September, right? And, you know, I know Ed Hervey well enough to know he's not just sitting here waiting for Bryant Mitchell to get cut loose in Tampa or Duke Williams to get cut loose in Buffalo, because if you wait until September, you could be a ways out of it here, right? So I would imagine, you know, like Ed's pretty astute. I'm sure he's beating the bushes and making calls as we speak.
Do they have the money to sign a player like that for him?
Well, it just depends on the circumstances, right? I mean, if you bring in a guy and you put him on a two-year deal and offer him more on the back end, of course, these contracts aren't guaranteed, maybe. Is somebody desperate enough to want to come in right now? Do you cut somebody, right? I mean, you don't do that in a short week. But do you cut somebody to free up salary, right? All of those are legitimate questions at this stage, right? So I'm not sure he's there yet, but if we get a similar level of production from receivers not named Burnham and Durant, you know, I could see some change after that.
You mentioned the offensive line, and they've certainly had their issues with players coming in and out, playing different positions. Brett Boyko really seems to be struggling out there. This team is still trying to find an answer at center. How do you think that unit has performed, and what are you hearing about how far Peter Godbert is from returning?
I think Godbert's a ways away. I'd be surprised if he came back before Labor Day. And Godbert's a rookie too, right? I mean, he's not a rookie per se, but from a CFL experience standpoint, you can't expect him to come in and be the guy. I think Jean-Simon Roy has handled himself well enough. Foucault has been good. I think he's better at the left guard spot than he is at the right tackle spot. So, you know, is it beyond the realm of possibility that we see another change where eventually Foucault gets moved back and, you know, eventually, you know, Hunter Stewart goes in at left guard? You know, he hadn't graded out that well in the last two games, whether he was at center or guard, right? So, which is why we're seeing him as the sixth lineman right now. So, you know, they're fair questions, but they're going to roll the same offensive line out as we saw last week with Boyko at the right tackle spot. I think he was better last week, right? And you'll see more six lineman looks and things of that nature, and you're going to see more protections where they chip and help. But, you know, this is going to be that week where, you know, you're going to know what you've got. You know, have they made enough improvements, especially with Boyko there, that you can handle the pressure looks that Edmonton's going to bring? Because, you know, after what happened in the last game, they're going to bring them, right? So we'll find out what this line is this week if we haven't already.
What are their thoughts on David Neville?
Well, I don't think David improved as much from last year to this year. I think he surprised a lot of people last year, and then I think everybody expected him to make a, you know, whatever, 30% improvement, right? Just for the sake of throwing a number out there, you know, where he could have genuinely competed for the right tackle spot, because I think coming into camp, the hope was it would be Neville or Boyko, right? And Neville didn't really improve enough to earn a full-time starting position yet. Could he improve enough by the end of the year? Possibly. You know, is he another year away? We'll see. But I think there were a lot of expectations for Neville, given how much of a pleasant surprise he was last year. Just not quite there yet.
Lions running game has picked up since the first 2 weeks of the season. John White's looked quick and fast as a dual threat, both running the ball and catching it out of the backfield. The Lions were extremely predictable on first down after 2 weeks and seem to have made some adjustments there. How would you rate the job Jarius Jackson's done with the offense so far?
Well, I think it was much better in the last game in terms of the running game. There's no doubt about it. It was much better in the first game, or the Calgary game, in terms of what they did on first down there. I mean, you know, White wasn't as involved, but they still were a little more play action dependent, a little more quick game. Like, it wasn't just drop back 5 and 7 steps and try to heave the ball downfield, right? So, you know, play selection is not just about running the ball, right? It's about moving the pocket, getting on the edges, being creative, even if you're going to throw the ball more, right? So I do believe there'll be a heavy diet of run game. You know, we saw that in practice yesterday, that they just, you know, there's real emphasis there. And I don't think that would be a surprise to Edmonton. I think they're going to load up the box and try to either, you know, pressure the quarterback or use those same players in run blitz situations and do everything they can to take John White away, because he was the biggest weapon for BC, right? So the key is to just not be predictable, because you're right, those first two games especially, they were unbelievably predictable on first down, and that led to their demise as much as anything.
Sergio Castillo has been pretty good on field goals, even winning on a missed field goal last week. But he's dead last in CFL punting average. And yesterday, of course, the Lions brought in punter Josh Bartel. So how is that going to affect the roster for the Lions going forward if they dress two kickers? And does Bartel qualify as a global player now under the new rules?
Yeah, you know, I've been waiting to find that out. And currently, he's a national, right? He counts as a Canadian. So it's not as simple as just taking, Geraldo, Rochette, or whatever the receiver's name is, and plucking him off the roster and making that change. But, you know, I'm surprised. I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I mean, I think this has been in the works for some time. But I actually think that the last two games, Castillo has been much better in terms of his distance. And it wasn't until the one really short kick, I think it was a 35-yard kick, that Rainey ran back for a touchdown. You know, and when that kick came off his leg and you saw the return teams were reacting before the catch, I thought, okay, well, the field position has just been flipped, because BC was in good field position shape in the previous three exchanges, right? And then, you know, he took it back for a touchdown, so it kind of became a moot point. But until then, I thought they were doing a pretty good job with him. But, you know, they're already playing short in terms of quarterbacks. It's too bad you can't just list Josh Bartel as a quarterback and let him punt, because everybody would be doing that. It's going to be one of the offensive linemen coming off defensive linemen or linebackers, I would imagine, that's going to wind up coming off the roster to make room for Bartel. Because I think BC last week dressed 9, if you include Toomer as a D lineman. They dressed 9, so I think one of those guys will wind up having to come off.
Mike Riley has pretty much come as advertised, but he's shown a little frustration, I think, at times. What are your thoughts on Mike's play with the Lions so far? And we also, Farhan, would like to get your thoughts on the Chris O'Leary piece that was basically an open letter from Mike that talked about his battles with anxiety in 2018 and the weight it carries in the area of mental health awareness.
Yeah, I think Mike has been very good. He's been as advertised, especially in the last two games, guys. When you look at not just his ability to push the ball down the field, you know, because his overall passing totals haven't been through the roof yet. To me, it's the little plays that he makes, right? It's the play when they were backed up to their own 5-yard line, you know, after special teams and then a penalty, and now it's second and long, and he takes a big time hit to make a play because of a line bust in the interior, and he gets it out, I think it was to Durant, for about a 15-yard gain and a first down, and now they can keep going and eventually get out to midfield before they give the ball up, right? It's those plays that Mike Riley is so known for, and that's what you need when you've still got other guys that are potentially going to make mistakes. You need him to clean them up by hanging in the pocket and making a play. So I think he's been really good. He certainly brought the best out of Lamar Durant, which is a good thing. And I think Jarius Jackson's getting comfortable using him because, you know, one thing Devon Claybrook told me earlier, that it's easy when you got the Lamborghini there at quarterback, but don't forget you got two pretty good Corvettes back there at running back. You know, and sometimes as a coordinator, when you get that shiny new toy in quarterback, you have to still know that you've got other players and how to use them. So I think that's starting to work out. No question, Mike's been frustrated at times. If you look at the live mic on the last broadcast, you could tell he was telling a bunch of receivers where to go on any given play, and that's not a good thing and something the quarterback doesn't want to have to deal with, but it's what he's stuck with when you get, you know, the Simon Isaacs and Bundys of the world in there, right, that just aren't quite sure yet. And even a Shaq Johnson is having to move around position-wise from what he's normally used to playing with Burnham out of the lineup. So, you know, there's been those moments where he's kind of dropped his shoulders and you can tell he's not happy, but he hasn't gone off on anyone like he has done at times in Edmonton. And, you know, Mike and I spoke about that at one point. He's like, look, I can't do that with this group yet. I haven't built enough equity with them yet. We need to find a groove and our own confidence and everyone get to know each other a bit before I can hold them accountable that way. And as far as the letter goes, you know, I think it's a real testament to Mike's mental health that, his mental toughness, I should say, because he knows he's going through this. He's in a certain level of denial, but before it can get to the point where it completely controls him, he reaches out for help. Fortunately for him, his brother's in that field, and you know, then they kind of admit to each other what they are because Mike didn't want to admit it at first, but he didn't let that linger to the point where it would really negatively impact his life and by extension his career. So the fact that he did it, the fact that he talked about it, you know, and he seems to be in a pretty good place. So good on him for the steps he went through and even better on him for revealing it and opening himself up to that.
Farhan, looking at the game this week, the Lions face a tall order coming off a short week against a team coming off a bye week and a team that dominated them 3 weeks ago. But they should be pretty motivated to redeem themselves this week. How do you see this game going on Thursday night?
It's a tough one. It really is. I mean, I do think the Lions are better than what they showed. I think the second half against Edmonton, or really the, you know, 35 minutes, if you include the final 5 minutes of the first half, is the worst football they've played this season. You know, the first 25 minutes of that game was very good. You know, the Winnipeg game had a lot of positives in it. You know, and certainly Calgary and Toronto had it as well. So I do think they're better than their record looks, but it's a tall order with a short week coming against a team that's coming off a bye week, right? I think that's a big challenge. I think Trevor Harris is really feeling it right now, and him and Greg Ellingson have something really, really good going. So I think it's going to be tough. You know, I think BC shows better. I think they move the ball better. I think they protect Mike better. But in the end, I think Edmonton probably finds a way to win because right now, I mean, you know, they look like they're as good a team as there is in the league today.
Farhan, always great to have you on. We love your insight and your work on the Lions broadcast and, of course, covering the CFL on TSN. Thanks for your time tonight.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys, and enjoy the game Thursday.
Thanks. Well, Mojo, this is a really big game coming off on Friday, and it's always great to talk to Farhan, but it's going to be a tough one for the Lions facing a confident, rested Eskimos team. Lose this game, the Lions surrender the season series to the Eskimos in just week 5 of the season, so there's more than pride on the line as the Leos try and redeem themselves from that game in Edmonton a couple weeks ago.
Namaste. Namaste. Brian, I think we're going to come out and we're going to have a good game. I think we're going to play them top. I think the defense, I think the defense is going to step up. We're doing really good against the run. But I think the offensive line guys have got to be pissed off at the way they played last time against these guys and how many hits they gave, they got on Mike Riley. You would hope that these guys are in some kind of mood come Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you also hope that the adjustments have been made to counter that pass rush. You know, I think the Eskimos probably have the best pass rush in the league. It's going to be up to Jarius Jackson, Devon Claybrooks, and his staff to figure out ways to combat that and hopefully get John White more involved, some quick hitches and running plays and take the heat off of that pass rush that you know is going to be coming on Thursday night. Well, that's it for episode 136. I want to thank our guest, Farhan Lalji of TSN, for joining us tonight. Thanks to our sponsor, Metal Rocks. Make sure to check out what they have to offer in way of handmade jewelry at https://etsy.com/ca/shop/Metal Rocks. This show is part of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Make sure to check out all the great shows that are a part of it at cfpodnetwork.ca and follow the network on Twitter at cfpodnetwork. For more on this week's opponent, check out the Eskimo Empire podcast at sempire.ca. Please subscribe and listen to the show on your favorite podcast app. Visit us at bclionsden.ca. Follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at Mojo Kemp, and on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast. That's podcast, PAWDCAST. Until next week, I'm Brian Warish and he's Mojo Kemp. Enjoy the game this week, and as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.